Chapter 4, The Water Nixie. "Now," said Minx, "let me decide what powder to use this time." The children stood staring with round eyes at the rows and rows of mysterious bottles. "Choose the green one," cried George. "No, take the blue," begged Alice. "George asked first, so I'll take the green this time," said Minx. She dumped some of the green into the magic kettle, and immediately it bubbled up into a frothy mass. The children were silent with wonder as she stirred the green mixture. "Don't you have to say any magic words while you do that?" asked Jack. "Like abracadabra," said Bob. "Oh my goodness," said Minx loftily. "That's old-fashioned stuff. Witches don't do that sort of thing anymore. In the old days, they even used to have to go out and catch their own bats and toads and stuff to make their powders out of. Now it all comes out of bottles." "Where do you buy them?" asked Francis. "My mother sends for everything from the witch's market. That's located near the Never Never Land. They send her a catalog, and she orders from that." Now the vapor was filling the room, and something was taking shape. The children were quiet as shadows, gazing in fascination. Alice, however, began to feel rather frightened and started to move toward the door. "Oh," said Minx in a soft, breathless voice, "I believe it is. I believe it is." The face that appeared was thin and sharply pointed toward the chin. The skin was of the palest green. The eyes were large and filled with strange lights, and the hair was long, green, and dripping with water. At last, a slim girl body, draped in a clinging, silvery green garment, took form and leaped to the floor as lightly as a sunbeam. "Are you a fairy?" asked Minx tremulously. "She has no wings," said George skeptically. The creature laughed with a sound like water splashing softly on pebbles. "Of course I'm not a fairy, you funny child," she said. "Don't you know what I am?" They all shook their heads solemnly. "I'm a Nixie." She danced around the room like a jet of spray. "What's a Nixie?" asked Alice. "A Nixie, poor, ignorant girl child, is a sprite of the water." "You mean there are people like you living in the water?" said Francis. "Of course, only it's not often anyone is granted the wonderful privilege of seeing us. I hope you appreciate your good fortune." She began to leap and twirl again, light as spindrift. "Oh, yes, we do," said Francis gravely. The Nixie finished her dance and said, "Now tell me what you want for me. Now tell me what you want me for. I'm beginning to feel uncomfortably dry and warm, and I'll have to return to my lake soon." "Well, I didn't really want you," said Minx. The Nixie looked quite hurt, and green tears began to slip down her cheeks. "You didn't really want to see me?" "Oh, of course we're glad to see you," Minx reassured her. "But I've been trying and trying to make a fairy appear." "Oh my goodness," cried the Nixie. "Fairies, they're so ordinary. I know simply hundreds of them, and they've got no more personality than a clamshell." "But we would like to see one anyway," said Alice. "Well, maybe I can help you. Why don't you try?" At this moment, to the children's utter disappointment, the Nixie became vapor again and slipped through the window. "Oh, gosh," said Jack, trying to get her back, Minx. "She was just going to tell us," said Francis. I'm afraid to use more of the powder," said Minx, "because my mother might notice it." All the children looked downcast. "But we can try again tomorrow night," said Minx, "if you can come." "Oh, sure we can," said Bob promptly. "That is, if we get home when we're supposed to tonight," said Francis. "I think we'd better leave now." "Maybe you'd better," said Minx, looking anxiously at the bottle of black spell brew. "Because sometimes my mother comes home early." At that, the children disappeared very suddenly through the door. Minx sighed and put back the pot on the shelf. Then she went to the mirror and gazed into it earnestly. "I haven't seen her today yet," she said aloud. "Maybe I'll see her for sure tonight." Suddenly she gave a little cry. There in the mirror, surely, oh surely, it was a face. A beautiful face, pale as moonlight, with night-dark eyes, a flower-soft mouth. Minx spun around quickly, but nothing was there. She stood quite still in disappointment. Then she said, "Oh, well, at least I'm sure I did see her tonight, and maybe tomorrow I'll see her outside the mirror." She felt very sleepy and went over to her blanket. As she lay down, she thought, "Tomorrow I must remember to take my broomstick to school and let the children ride on it." The next morning, she awoke to find Madame Snikkesnee already seated at the cluttered table, chewing greedily on a fried bat's wing. "So you're awake at last, are you, Lazybones?" said the witch. The witch greeted her. "I see you finally obeyed me and made the brew." Mink seized a piece of bread and began to chew it hungrily. "Have some manners," screamed the witch. "Eat like a lady." Although there was no clock in the house, Minx thought it must be time to get ready for school. She recalled what her teacher had told her, and going to the sink, started to splash water on her face and arms half-heartedly. Madame Snikkesnee was so astonished that she stopped chewing for a few seconds. "What are you doing that for?" she demanded. "Oh, I just felt like it," Minx tried to sound casual. "You're up to something, my lass. Don't tell me you're not. You just stay right in this house today, and don't you dare stir out of it." "Yes, ma'am," said Minx, as innocent as an angel right out of heaven. "You look too innocent, my girl. Just remember what I said." Madame Snikkesnee tossed a well-polished bone to Scorcher, who pounced on it and started to crunch it noisily. Minx heard the school bell ring, and her heart sank in despair. "Oh, why doesn't she hurry up and go to sleep?" she thought, but she knew that if her mother discovered how anxious she felt, that she would stay awake on purpose all day. Humming a tuneless tune, Minx went to water the unhappy flower pots. "That reminds me," said Madame Snikkesnee darkly, fixing her little red eyes on the bottle of black spell brew. Minx's hand trembled a bit, but she continued to hum. "Oh, please, please go to sleep," she thought desperately. But presently the witch's eyelids began to droop and her head to sink down on her bony chest. At last, with a thud, her head dropped to the table and the dishes began to clatter and clink with the violence of her snores. Thankfully, Minx grabbed her broom and rushed out of the house. I'm late, she thought fearfully. "I wonder what they'll do to me." She was running with furious speed along the road when suddenly she stopped short. "My goodness," she said, "here I am, wasting my breath on running when I could be riding." So she flung one slim leg over her broomstick, gave a little push with her foot, and up she went into the clear October sky, riding swiftly toward the schoolhouse. Mr. Bunch, looking out of his office window, was certainly surprised to see his newest pupil arriving in such an unusual fashion. Chapter 5, Mr. Beanpot, Detective. When Minx walked into the classroom, Miss Taylor said, "Minx, you're late, and whatever have you brought a broom with you for?" "I'm going to let the children take rides on it during recess," said Minx. Miss Taylor looked disconcerted. "Why, I'm sure that's very nice of you, Minx, but I really don't think Mr. Bunch would allow it." Groans of disappointment rolled through the room. Miss Taylor clapped her hands. "Now, children, stop that noise. Go to your seat, Minx, and be on time tomorrow. Let's get on with our reading." Minx placed her broom in the wardrobe and obediently took her seat. While she was learning how to read words, such words as cat, dog, and boy, she forgot all about the broom. The other boys and girls, however, did not forget it. As soon as they were released for recess, they crowded around Minx excitedly. "Oh, Minx, please let me ride on the broom. Please, Minx, let me." Minx looked around to see if Mr. Bunch or Miss Taylor was in sight, and as all was clear, she handed the broom to one of the small boys. "Here, just sit on it and give a push, and it'll go up. Then, when you want to come down, just say, 'Down, please,' and it will go wherever you tell it to go, wherever you tell it to." The small boy flung a chubby leg over, and up he went, looking scared. He came down very soon, rather pale and shaken, and handed the broom meekly to the next child. Up she spun, laughing and shrieking, and she stayed so long whizzing about above the trees that they all began to shout for her to come down. The fun and excitement were becoming uproarious when suddenly Mr. Bunch appeared in their midst. All morning he had been unable to do a jot of work. So preoccupied was he with the thoughts of Minikin Snikkesnee coming to school on a broomstick. Should he speak to her or shouldn't he? As a matter of fact, he felt quite odd about the child, nervous in truth. But just now, when he had seen, out of his window, these goings on, he had made up his mind. Now he roared, "Stop this nonsense!" Instantly, everyone was silenced. Up in the air, a girl was still riding around gaily. "Come down here," shouted Mr. Bunch. Immediately, the girl came hurtling down, bumping against the ground rather hard. "What nonsense is this?" boomed Mr. Bunch. "Minikin Snickersnee, are you the cause of all this?" Minikin Snickersnee, you are the cause of all this. Minx had an urge to run, but looking around for an opening in the crowd, she saw Frances smiling at her. Then bravely she turned and faced Mr. Bunch. "I didn't mean to make any trouble," she said unhappily. "I promise I won't ever do it again." "See to it that you leave that infernal broom at home hereafter," commanded Mr. Bunch, "because if I ever see it again, I'll take it away from you." Minx nodded miserably, just when she was getting to be friends with all these children. Now they would probably make fun of her all the more. Mr. Bunch marched off indignantly, and the children drifted away in silence. At that moment, the bell rang for the end of recess. "I'll wait for you after school," called Frances. When Minx joined her friend after school, Frances said, "Never mind about the broomstick. Some of the kids got rides anyway." "Oh, I can give you rides on Saturday," said Minx, "if you don't think it would make you into a witch." Frances laughed merrily. "Silly, I have to be born a witch to be one." "Oh, if only I hadn't been born a witch," groaned Minx. "I sometimes dream that my mother isn't really a witch, but a beautiful fairy." "You don't look like a witch," said Frances comfortingly. "Maybe your mother will reform. Grandma once read us a book about a pirate who did. Maybe witches can too, sometimes." "Well, I certainly hope so," said Minx doubtfully. "Can you come home with me today?" asked Frances. "Not today." "I'd better not," said Minx. "My mother was very angry last night because I was out." "What did she do to you?" "Just hollered around, but she might get mad enough to change me into something." Frances's eyes widened. "Oh, Minx, how awful. Would she change all of us into something if she found us there?" Minx looked very unhappy. "Well, yes, she would," she admitted. "She'd change you into flower pots." "Maybe we'd better not come anymore," said Frances in a scared voice. "Maybe you'd better not," agreed Minx, her heart heavy with disappointment. When she left Frances, she felt so dejected that she walked along slowly, dragging her broom in the dust. She was so wrapped up in her gloomy thoughts that she did not see the man who suddenly stepped out in front of her until she bumped into him. "Oops, sis," said he, and she looked up to see a short, stout man in a bright plaid suit with a large cigar stuck in one corner of his mouth. Never having been taught manners, she did not even think of apologizing, and as he did not step out of her way, she stood staring at him curiously. "Pardon me, sis," said the man breezily. "Ain't you the daughter of Madame Snickersnee?" Immediately, Minx felt apprehensive. "Yes, I am." "Well, I'm Mr. Beanpot, Master Detective," he said importantly. Minx eyed him fearfully. "There's a little matter of some missing children from the town," said Mr. Beanpot, staring down at Minx with small, accusing gray eyes. "You wouldn't know about them, would you?" "Missing children?" stammered Minx, flushing. 7 to be exact," said Mr. Beanpot, holding up 7 fat pink fingers, "and their parents are missing them horribly." He added thoughtfully, "Though for the life of me, I can't see why Billy Martin's family ever miss him except pleasantly." He shook his head disapprovingly. Minx edged around him carefully, getting set to run, but Mr. Beanpot was too alert for her. He reached out a pudgy hand and grasped her arm. "Hold on there, sis. Aside from the question of Billy Martin, your mother is under suspicion. You wouldn't know about those kids, would you?" "No, I wouldn't." Her knees were shaking. "Well, I'll be around, sis, and if I find out your mother is a kidnapper, it's jail for her and for you, too." He poked his round red nose threateningly in her frightened face. "And you tell your mother what I said." Suddenly, her courage returned, and straightening her back, she said defiantly, "Why don't you tell her yourself?" It was Mr. Beanpot's turn to look nervous. He mopped his face with a large purple handkerchief. "Never you mind getting fresh, sis. Just remember what I told you." As Minx proceeded on her way, she muttered, "Fraidy cat, afraid of a witch." When she arrived home, she was relieved to see that the witch had not yet awakened. Her snores were rattling the window shades. Minx hid her school books in the bottom of a bureau drawer and stared hopefully into the ancient mirror, but this time she could see nothing but her own thin, sad face. When Madame Snickersnee woke up, she was in a more frightful mood than usual, stamping around, screaming, and throwing things here and there, but mostly at Minx. Minx was so clever at dodging that she was not struck once, but she was greatly relieved to see the witch float away at last into the darkening sky. Minx made haste to start preparations for her nightly experiment. She felt very sorrowful that her friends would not be with her this evening. But maybe it's just as well, she thought. At that moment, her heart gave a leap. There was a knock on the door. She rushed to answer it, and there stood all five children. "Oh, I thought you weren't coming," she cried joyfully. "We thought we wouldn't be sissies," said Frances. "We just couldn't stay away. Grandma sent you some cookies." Without delay, Minx began devouring the cookies. She had never tasted anything so good in all her life. Hurry up," cried Bob. "Let's get started." "What color would you like?" asked Minx, her mouth quite full. It's my turn, cried Alice. "Okay, Alice, you choose," said Minx. "Let's see." Alice stood so long deciding that the others became impatient. "Hurry up, Alice, oh hurry up, Slowpoke." At last Alice cried triumphantly, "I choose the yellow and red." Chapter 6. Enchanted Flower Pots. It was queer that although Minx stirred the mixture quite vigorously, the yellow and red never mingled. The red stayed on one side of the kettle, the yellow on the other. "I can't understand it," said Jack, greatly perplexed. "It ought to be a funny brownish color right now. That's the way my paints do, anyhow." "Shh," said Frances, because now the mysterious vapor was beginning to rise from the pot and slowly fill the whole room. In fascination, the children watched the vapor shape itself into a strange sort of man wearing a long coat that was yellow on one side and red on the other. He was tall and thin, with blonde hair falling to his shoulders and small, sharp blue eyes. He was holding a flute to his lips and blowing a soft, sweet sound through it. He stepped with dignity to the floor, smiling merrily. "Ah, children, my weakness," he said in a rich, jolly voice. "Shall I play you a tune on my flute?" "Wait a minute, please," said Francis. "Aren't you the Pied Piper of Hamelin?" "The same," he said, bowing very low. "No tune for us, then, thank you," said Francis, shaking her head at him reprovingly. "We don't care to be spirited away by your flute playing as those other children were." The Pied Piper looked at her in wounded astonishment. "Why, my dear young lady, I wouldn't dream of such a thing." "What happened to those other kids?" asked Jack. "My dear boy," said the Pied Piper, "they are in a most delightful place, most delightful. They have never grown any older than they were on that day so long ago, and they have everything their hearts desire. Toys, good things to eat, everything." "But their poor mothers and fathers, how sad you made them," said Francis. "Ah, my sweet young lady, don't fret your pretty head about that. Everything is lovely again. From the goodness of my heart, I forgave the townspeople who played such a low trick on me, and the mothers and fathers are again with their children." "And the little lame boy who was too slow to get inside the hill?" persisted Francis. "He is there too, although grown up, of course," said the Pied Piper, "but he is lame no longer." "Well, that's a relief," Francis sighed contentedly. "Now that all those weighty matters are cleared up," said the Pied Piper, "pray tell me, young ladies and gentlemen, what do you wish of me?" "Nothing, I guess," said Minx. "I was really trying to make a fairy appear." "Oh, ho! Well, you must have done the wrong sort of things. Whatever it is you do to make thingamajigs appear. But isn't there anything at all I could do for you?" Minx shook her head. "No, I can't think of a thing." "While you're thinking some more, I'll take a stroll around the kitchen," said the Pied Piper. Do I see cookies here?" He picked up one and sampled it with great concentration. "Oh boy, as they say nowadays, someone around here is a good cook." Grandma, said Bob with pride. Lucky children to have such a grandma, said the Pied Piper solemnly. Then his eyes lighted on the windowsill. My, my, what an array of flower pots, he said. Lovely, but there's something rather odd about them. Minx squirmed inside, recalling Mr. Beanpot. Yes, continued the Pied Piper, these flowers look almost human. Suddenly Minx's face sparkled. Say, Mr. Pied Piper, you're good at putting magic spells on children. Do you suppose you could do something about changing these flower pots back into children? Oh ho, cried the Pied Piper, his face lighting and understanding. So that's why these plants look so human. What is this, the house of a witch? Yes, my mother is, admitted Minx nervously. But please, Mr. Pied Piper, could you change them back into children? The Pied Piper's eyes twinkled as he looked at her. I'll try, he said, raising his flute to his lips. But just then, he began to grow blurry around the edges and fade slowly away. Oh, golly, cried Jack. Can you do something, Minx? For a second, Minx just stood there, wringing her hands in despair. Then she rushed to the shelf and grabbed the jar of red and yellow powder. Just a speck more ought to bring him back, she said, and tossed some more into the magic pot. Breathlessly, the children watched as the Pied Piper wavered, then slowly became more distinct. And once more, there he was again, solid as he should be. Saved in the nick, he said, and now I'll see what I can do. Placing the flute to his lips, he blew a thin, sweet note. As if their heads were pulled by strings simultaneously, the children looked at the flower pots. Nothing was happening. The Pied Piper next started to blow a merry, rollicking tune that made the children's feet go tap, tap, tap. And then the strange thing happened. All the flower pots began to change shape. They became misty around the sides. Then they seemed to swell up and out. And in a very short time, they were no longer flower pots, but seven children on the windowsill, squeezed much too closely together for comfort. They all looked quite dazed, and several of them were rubbing their eyes. Finally, the oldest boy spoke. What's going on? What am I doing here? Don't you remember? Asked Minx in surprise. I can't remember a thing, said a girl. Goodness, it's crowded on this windowsill. What are we sitting here for? The children got down, still looking very bewildered. I feel so stiff in my legs, said a small boy, as if I was sitting on them. Don't you remember, said Francis? You were... Shh, whispered Minx quickly. Don't tell them, Francis. Francis looked at her with astonishment, but Minx frowned and shook her head. Well, young ladies and gentlemen, said the Pied Piper, I have performed my little task, and I can feel myself becoming rather vaporous again. I trust you are satisfied? Oh, thank you, Mr. Pied Piper, said Minx. Now I guess the detective won't be able to put me in jail after all. The Pied Piper's eyebrows shot up questioningly, but before Minx could explain, he had faded quite away. Every red and yellow speck of him, every flute note. The seven children were looking around very curiously. Where are we, anyway? Demanded a boy who happened to be the notorious Billy Martin. Never mind where you are, said Minx pertly. You'd better go home right away. Well, you don't have to tell us where we are, said Billy, giving her a bold stare, because I know who you are, anyway. You're the witch's daughter. The other children shrank back in alarm. The smallest boy began to cry. Oh, you needn't be so scared, said Minx in annoyance. If it wasn't for me, you'd still be... She remembered in time and clapped a hand over her mouth. We'd still be what? Demanded Billy Martin suspiciously. Never mind what, said Francis. Why don't you just go home and keep quiet? Keep quiet yourself, said Billy. Say, you know what I think? I'm not interested, Minx informed him. But Billy persisted. I think you put some kind of a spell on us, kids. That's what I think. You're a witch, too. She is not, Francis defended her friend hotly. She is, too, said Billy, and I think there's something funny going on around here. Why don't you go home, said Minx. I'm going, don't worry, but you ain't seen the last of me. Billy and the other ex-flower pots went out looking rather dazed. Now what do you suppose will happen, said Minx unhappily. Don't worry, Francis comforted her. We'll stick by you, won't we, kids? Every head nodded vigorously. We sure will, Minx. But Minx still looked anxious. Even if they never remember they were flower pots, she said, they'll make everyone think they were under a spell. That Billy Martin surely will. Oh, why was I ever born a witch's child?